Put your paws up, 'cause you were born this way, baby.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the Expressive Arts Collective, where we talk about mental health, creativity, the arts, and just really shoot the shit. So, I'm Sugathir Pen. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist and expressive arts therapist, and I'm here with...
Christian Starnes. Hello. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist as well, and I work a lot with gender, identity, trauma, EMDR, and arts as well, in a different way.
And today, we have the fabulous Tatiana Navarette here with us. Hello, Tati. You want to introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Tatiana Navarette. I am just a recent college graduate from Cal State Long Beach.
Go Beach.
And I'm so excited to be here today.
Thank you so much for being here. I can't wait to chat with you about all things filmmaking, all things being a Long Beach local. You're a young person.
Yes. Drink it up, sweetheart. Drink it up. I'm excited as well because we haven't met before, but Sue filled me in a little bit with her excitement about what you do and who you are. So, yay.
Thank you for having me.
So, I don't think I told you this about Christian, but Christian has a background in acting, was a professor of acting. You have an MFA.
My wheelhouse was a lot with improv, musicals, comedy, but yeah, I did Shakespeare, was not a big fan. Being dyslexic is hard with Shakespeare. I'm like, that looks like every other word I can't say or spell. A lot of training and teaching with voice and movement, body, and things like that. And so I love the arts.
Yes.
And then I love to watch the movies and the TVs as well.
Yes. Which, by the way, so last week we talked about therapists in pop culture on TV shows.
Oh.
Just to let you all know, I went and binge watched that show with Paul Rudd.
Oh, did you?
Holy shit.
Right?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
I kept thinking about it I've seen it. My fiance. And I, it's new, so I gotta like say it more. It's fun. She got me into it, and we already watched it, but I kind of like jumped into it. And yeah, after we talked about it last week, I kept thinking about it for a few days. It's mind blowing, right?
Mind blowing that he got away with it, and he just lost his license years ago.
Yeah,
but all this was happening in the 80s.
A huge narcissist,
and it's probably not just Marty.
Oh, no, not
just
at all.
Marty.
No.
It was probably those other folks that were at all those parties.
Yeah. That's the when they say the cult of personality.
Seriously.
And gurus.
Yes.
I mean, this is where it's at.
And that's totally where my mind went. I was like, Marty was in like a cult of one.
Yeah. Which, that's a really good, acknowledgement of how that can work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to cult in a group, y'all. So that's fun. But also, yeah, being aware and check in with that's where it gets it's hard. The paradox of check in with friends and family. There's a difference between someone not liking your boyfriend or girlfriend or going, hey, your new friend is kind of this or that. And knowing, like, I don't think my friend or family has my best interest in mind. I think they just don't like this person for whatever reasons, or they don't like that they're taking me away from them in some way. Mm-hmm. And that also is a normal feeling. Mm-hmm. The difference is when it runs rampant without you noticing. The horses just run wild. So, yeah, he wouldn't listen to his sister.
No. Tati, do you know the show The Shrink Next Door?
No.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds very exciting.
I didn't know this last week, but it's a true story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I love a true story.
About how a therapist totally, like, manipulates his client into giving him all this money.
Put him in his will.
Put him in his will. Yeah. A house in the Hamptons.
What?
Gnarly. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. That was one of our tangents.
So crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. A little check-in from last week. Wow. So you were saying you like the TV. You like the movies.
I do. I like the TVs. I like the movies. I like the talkie pictures. Yeah.
Which brings us back to Tati.
Hey.
Tati. Hi. Hi, Tati. So, Tati is a fabulous filmmaker. You just, I don't know if you called a premiere, or you had a private showing of your film, Born This Way. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Born This Way?
Yes. So, it all started, I guess, two summers ago when I went to a Christian summer camp. And I love children. You know, I love to work with kids, youth, honestly, any age. I think they're just so fun. Goofy energies. Mm-hmm. I'm a goofy energy.
Yeah.
Here.
We're goofy energies too. We get it.
Yeah.
I feed off of it. Like, it makes me so happy and joyful and passionate. And so I knew that is where I wanted to go, you know. So I decided to take the summer and go to Lake Tahoe to the church camp they have there. And when I went there, I knew, you know, coming into it, that it was a Christian camp. And I didn't realize until I got there that everybody that I was meeting, it was like 25 staff people. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew anything about me, which is awesome and exciting. But also, I had that realization that they're all Christian. Mm-hmm. And I am very obviously and openly gay. Mm-hmm. And especially like on social media, and like, you know, most people ask each other, hey, can I have your Instagram or whatever, you know, when you first meet someone. So I'm thinking to myself, oh crap, like, I don't know what to do because I feel like I have to hide myself, you know, mm-hmm. in this like Christian environment.
It's so interesting to, like, I'm just imagining it, and something that dawns on me is like, you get there and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot. I have to like zip up everything about me and leave it somewhere else. Hence why perhaps they call it the closet, or maybe I've just paired it all together for the analogy. But I as an elder in the community, I'm 42, going strong. I gotta say, I love the fact that didn't dawn on you.
Yeah.
Because to be hypervigilant about your existence is exhausting and unfair. And a lot of people of many different demographics, you know, experience that and have to do that. And so I love that you were like, oh yeah, wait, whoa. And you just really wanted to do something with these kids and be a part of this. And so, ooh, juicy. We're at a plot point.
I know, right?
Please continue.
I know, right? So basically, I kind of had that like paralyzing realization that I can't be myself. I can't tell people that I have a girlfriend. I can't, you know, dress the way that I want to dress, or like style my hair the way I want to style it.
It's like everything.
Everything, like even just in the way I talk or move or walk, presence in a room, I felt like I had to just completely just, you know, be quiet and be not heard and just hide almost. That's what it felt like, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And man, I had so many people being like, what's your Instagram? What's your Instagram? Or right. Hey, like, you know, do you have a crush on anyone here? Oh, like, you know, camp stuff, right?
Jesus, I'm crushing on Jesus, y'all.
I know, I'm like, you know, they'll be like, do you have a boyfriend? I'm like, oh, you know, like a girlfriend. Right. So pretty much, pretty quickly after that, I had that realization, okay, like, I can't just keep hiding, right? And I remember I texted my mom and I was just like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know. I feel like I need to leave because I felt that, scared and insecure. And like, it was so paralyzing at that time.
Yeah.
And you know, I just like couldn't stop crying.
Oh, no.
You know, and I just felt alone. So, I remember every day, during the first week of camp, we would have these times where we'd sit on the water, on the dock. And we would talk in a group, like a group of like four people. And one of the leaders there, I asked them, I said, hey, are you, how long have you known this other person who also is like one of the heads of the camp, but I won't say their names for privacy. But she was like, oh, I've known her actually for a long time. And I said, oh, are you guys like, have you been best friends forever or something? And she's like, actually, we're dating.
Bam, bidi, bam, 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 bam.
Yes. And I want to thank you,
Jesus.
Yes.
I want to thank you, Jesus.
Yes. In that moment, I started bawling. Like, aww. I just was so grateful that she was able to be so open and so vulnerable with me, because boy, oh boy, did I need it in that moment, because I just literally 20 minutes before I text my mom saying, I don't know if I can do this, you know? Right. And it was just so incredible. And in that moment, I told the rest of my group, I too am LGBTQ, because I think it would be really weird for me to just start crying and not explain. Like, oh, you're dating that person?
You know? Like, you want to go kayaking? Right. It's a beautiful day.
Macrame. So, you know, a small group of people knew. And then eventually, day by day, I started coming out little by little. And the way I went about it was just telling people I had a girlfriend. I was like, oh, I have a girlfriend. I just want to let you know? And people were like, oh my God, you're getting this awesome, you know? So it was a very kind reaction. But my whole life has been a struggle, being Christian, being LGBTQ. It's just been this like paradox of sorts. Yeah. And even though the majority of people at camp were very like kind and positive, I wouldn't say that there wasn't like nothing happening like against me. So that's the thing. Like, I wanted to create a film that brought awareness to LGBTQ and to especially LGBTQ struggling with religion and faith and things like that. So when I went back the second year, I met a camper who was transgender, and that's where everything changed for me. And I knew that this was the film I wanted to tell, and to tell the true story of me meeting this camper who's trans, and how they basically reached this point in their life where they felt like their life was worthless. And a lot of it was because of their parents, and then also due to the religious trauma that they were facing. And I knew that by telling this story, it could help so many people. So that's how I got to here. You know?
And then I took a bus.
Right.
And I got here.
Well, I was at that showing, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
I'm very happy that you chose to tell it.
Thank you.
Because you're giving the gift of vulnerability to other folks who just, like, you needed to hear from, you know, that person on the dock.
Yeah.
You know, other folks need to hear that they're not alone.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, absolutely. And also just to normalize that there are LGBTQ people everywhere we go, and
right.
Even in the church, which, absolutely. You know, might yeah. seem like a paradox, but like there are many people out there who are still interested in practicing religion and who are also LGBTQ members,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What has your guys' journey been like with faith?
Yeah. Want to go first?
I have so much to say on the topic.
Yeah.
Well, settle in, kiddies. It's going to be a journey. So I was raised evangelical fundamentalist Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer practice that, believe that, and part of that faith at all. I left the church completely when I was about 25, which Tati and I, we talked about this.
Yeah.
So much religious trauma. So much silencing, so much hiding of who I am, you know, and who I wanted to be as a kid, and just so much negative messaging about anything outside the box, you know?
Mm.
So I think that's now why I really appreciate transparency, honesty, authenticity, because I didn't get to be that when I was younger. I very much had to be what the church wanted me to be, what my parents wanted me to be in order to be safe in that environment, you know? What about you, Christian?
Oh, Well, let me see. I was hoping yours was going to be longer.
Oh, do you want to say more about
juice? Well, not because I wanted you to suffer more growing up, but I was like, oh, okay, juice. And then I was like, oh, wait, maybe I should have went, because I don't know if... being evangelical Christian, like... Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
That's a showstopper right there. That's an 11 o'clock number.
Well, do you want to know more about that?
Yeah, I'll throw some stuff out, too, and follow me back and forth here. Because I'm from Michigan, mm-hmm. and according to the things I've read and been told, I guess the number one place of, like, the cluster, mm-hmm. if you will, of evangelical Christians are in Grand Rapids, Michigan, mm. which I'm holding my hand up right now because that's what you do in Michigan. So I'm...
the little hand.
Little mitten there. Hat. So I'm from Flint, Michigan. And then Grand Rapids is over there, so this is only like an hour and a half, 2 hour drive. But 40 minutes south is the largest conglomerate of Muslim people.
Interesting.
In the United States, Dearborn area. So my mom was raised Catholic, my dad was raised Baptist, according to my great aunt Barb, who did a whole genealogy thing for a while. One of the Starnes, that's my dad's side, helped found Southern Baptist. So, yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah.
motherfucker. but I would say that, so my parents, their generation had the heavy influence of Christianity, but they tried. My parents tried to bring it into the house. And I remember being three or four. Mm-hmm. The pastors came over to pray with my parents, and I kept trying to interrupt them. I knew they were praying, but I just got a bad feeling about these guys, and I didn't like what was happening, so I kept going, what are you doing to stop them? Come to find out later, they were stealing from the church. But my experience with it, it felt like a club that you had to be popular, special, look a certain way, have a certain amount of money, all this stuff, in order to belong to. Mm-hmm. And it bothered me so much, this classism, mm-hmm. and everything else in it. And so looking back now, going, oh, totally trans and queer, it makes also a lot of sense why I energetically, even if you threw me in a dress, energetically, I didn't fit in with anybody there. Mm-hmm. And I felt it really heavy, mm-hmm. compared to other places. I felt it a lot at school and so forth, but going, and this lasted maybe a year. This wasn't that long, but that made a huge impression because also around me, all those messages. Mm-hmm. And so when I thought I was gay, because, you know, trans wasn't really in the vernacular in the 90s per se, so I'm like, well, I'm a woman, so I guess I'm gay. I was probably 15, and there was a friend of mine who, well, they were an acquaintance from school, and their dad was a pastor, and she was like, hey, you know, kind of knew I was struggling with the sexuality and all this stuff. I was like, do you want to talk to my dad? You know, he's really good with this stuff. And I was real leery. I was like, he's a pastor. Okay. But I was like totally alone at that time. You know, my parents didn't know all this stuff. And so I was like, okay, maybe I will. And so I called a couple times to talk to the guy. He was really nice. And then came the big bomb. And I'm not saying that all people in religion do this, but there is a infiltration, shall we say, of negativity that gets into spirituality. So this guy who was trying to gain my trust goes, try to convince me that I must have been sexually assaulted by a male family member. Mm. And I was like, no. He's like, well, there's not a good or a real reason that you would be gay. So are you, think really hard. Are you sure? Blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no. And I hung up the phone. I told my mom about that years after because I was so like scared because he held so much power, mm-hmm. in my mind, even though I was very much like, I don't like this group of people because you treat me badly. but that identifying with the aggressor or, you know, type of internalized whatever, where it's like, but I also wanted their approval. And so, you know, I, fortunately, no, I, that is not my experience of any sexual assault as a growing up or anything like that. And so the fact that there would be this installation or coaxing to justify my feelings through demonizing someone else. Somebody's got to be bad. And so I have a lot of mixed feelings, you know? So it hasn't been positive, but I then found later in life more in the realm of Buddhism. And so I really get down with understanding how all these different religions really are kind of the same. It's just, it's kind of like, you know, was it telephone game where it's like, okay, but we call them this, or I don't think they're one of the cool ones. They're not one of the apostles. We're going to be like this person, or they're going to be that, and blah, blah, blah. No, I don't think they really were alive, so we're going to have them over here. And then everybody's fighting. And it really reminds me of like a family reunion. So I try to go with the idea of, you know, I don't know, and being curious, and energy is real, and maybe there's something after in a rhyme or reason. I hope so, but I don't know. And as long as we're not using things that, as long as we're not using our own ideas and emotions to harm other people, I'm like, I'm down for the message. Okay, cool. I try to be that way.
Yeah.
So what about you, Sue? How does that, being evangelical.
Do you have a specific question?
I don't. I guess I'm just like, when did you, I guess I'm just like, it's so, in my mind, it's like so intense.
It is so intense.
Yeah, is it?
It absolutely is.
I've never talked to somebody who's left it.
Oh, I very much believe that the way that I was raised was that I was in a high demand group. So not quite a cult, but like one step down from that, a high demand group. Yeah, when you look at the criteria for a high demand group, my upbringing absolutely meets the criteria. I went to private school from daycare. Like,
so there's a lot of isolation.
Not even before kindergarten. Like, before kindergarten, was like to a Lutheran daycare, all the way up to 12th grade, went to private school. And then my grandparents tried to bribe me to go to Biola, where you have to minor in theology. And I was like, absolutely not. will not be doing that. Much to the dismay of my whole family. Because private schools are secular and heathen. You know, Cal State Long Beach is evil, so.
It's not very convenient, I feel, you know, right? And it, like that, that pastor guy, you know, maybe this wasn't like a conscious intention, but it's a lot of, to me, like a theme of isolation, which is what, I'm gonna go there, abusers do.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
So I
isolate,
had this clip.
Groom, indoctrination.
Yes, so totally.
Yeah.
Once as a therapist, I started getting into working with more trauma, working with complex trauma, relational trauma, where there's a lot of like narcissistic abuse. I was like, the church is like a narcissistic parent.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it wasn't just in my family. It was like the whole environment that I grew up in was filled with narcissistic abuse.
Right.
Yeah.
That must have been really hard, like growing up in an environment like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like you have to like suppress, like I feel like you'd have to suppress yourself. Of that, you know,
and
I'm sure now that you're like removed from that, that you're able to like really be true to you and express yourself the way you want to, and you don't have to fit this like box that they're throwing you in at that time, you know. So yeah, crazy like to hear about that and like those experiences, and they're just so valid too. And like it makes me really sad to hear about how much religion has hurt people. And that's the thing, it's hurt me too, you know? And even though I'd consider myself a Christian now, it's still really painful. Like, it still feels just as painful mm-hmm. as it did before. And I think people have asked me, you know, because I'm now very public about, mm-hmm. you know, my sexuality, my religion. People have asked me, like, why do you even go to church? Like, if it's hurt you so bad, like, why would you even do that? You know? And for me, it's the hope. Like, I don't think I'd even be here or have interest in living in this world if I didn't have hope that, you know, that there's something good in it, you know? Mm-hmm. 'Cause I think without that religious element, I feel like I can get really negative and, like, mm-hmm. see more of, like, the negative sides. Because I don't know if you guys know Enneagram, but I'm an Enneagram 1, and I'm a perfectionist. Yes. So I see the word, you know, like,
in you.
Yeah. But, like, black and white, and there's this is right, and this is wrong, and mm-hmm. it needs to be this way, and if it's not that way, then it sucks, you know? Yeah. That's just how I've always thought. And even, sometimes that's great. Sometimes it's, or a lot of times, it's not great. But I think just having hope through spirituality and to start to see like the good in the world and the good in people, the good in mm-hmm. others. I feel like a lot of the way I practice my religion or my religious beliefs is through community, mm-hmm. through volunteering, through just like talking to people and like just being present with people. Mm-hmm. To me, that's like, I feel like that's the way I practice my mm-hmm. spirituality, even more than just like coming to church, you know, or,
totally,
or yeah. something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're a bit of a humanist.
A humanist. Mm-hmm. I like it.
It sucks when, you know, when something gets taken over and becomes, it passes on, it grows in the bad way, mm. in a negative way. And it's not all or nothing. There's a lot of gray in things. And mm-hmm. I think when we go, that's bad or that's good, and this, like, it's this fighting of the ego and the subconscious and all this stuff, when the truth is we don't know. And if you find that you're believing something that is not harmful to you or someone else, and honestly, even if something is harmful to someone else, the truth is it's not my business. Like, in a society, it's hard. Where does that end? You know, and how do you know something's harming somebody? Because you believe it? Well, they don't. So, you know, it gets in the weeds there. But I find whenever certain people, we've all been to that party, right? Where we're having a good time, everything's flowing, the music is great, and here comes that one person that wants to just get a little bit of attention or want to throw something in the mix, and all of a sudden the music sucks. That's how religion turned. It's, you know, and then the one dude at the party who turned the music and like changed everything, and they just have a big personality and a big energy, and people are afraid of them. And then they're like, well, I want them to like me. So they're like, well, let's do what Mark wants, whoever that Mark is, you know who you are. And, and then it just grows. We see it all the time. I mean, everybody's experienced that in elementary school. Where's the have-nots, who's popular? It's social order. Mm. And these systems, hello, family systems, hey.
Hey.
Right?
Hey.
All this stuff, you know, we believe or get under the impression that they stop at the door of your house or your body or at work or whatever. No, all these things perpetually go on because we're all humans. It's a human experience, pack animals. It's just exasperated because our sad little awesome brains mutated and now we're aware. But Mark, don't touch the music, man. Everybody's trying to just have a good time, loving one another. And that's what it sounds like, kind of in a way you're saying. You're like, we don't have to go to that party
right.
to connect and have good music and feel the love and do good things. And I believe that if I spread that awareness and tell people and just invite them on over to my DJ booth, that maybe got something positive to offer. Mm-hmm. I like that. Mm-hmm. That's something, if that's called religion, I can get down with that.
Yeah. I love it.
Do you want to hear a positive story that actually involves your mom talking?
Yeah, I'd love to hear.
So around this time, 25, when I was choosing to leave the church, I made friends with this like radical feminist pastor, Pastor Christy Melby Gibbons of the Moravian Church.
Ooh, and shout out to Pastor C. I love you, Pastor C.
So she was the pastor of the Moravian Church in my hometown in Downey at the time. And I was so guarded with religion. But a good friend of mine was like, oh, you know, my friend Christy and David, they've moved to Downey. You should meet them. And I was like, I don't know about this. Hanging out with a Christian pastor, this could be really bad. But then, it wasn't. It was actually really good because Christy is phenomenal. And I remember many conversations of just being very honest with her about, you know, my experiences. And she was like, yeah, valid. The church kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Not even kind of. The church sucks a lot of the time. But that's why she was trying to change it from the inside out, you know? She has since moved to, is it Milwaukee?
That's what I'm thinking. I thought Milwaukee.
Yeah. And opened a pay-what-you-want restaurant, or pay-what-you-can restaurant, which was always her dream. Anyway, Pastor C really helped me to, like, process my angst towards Christianity and gave me a model of like what someone who is a Christian but is actually really demonstrating the love of Jesus, like that radical love. And you know, and then I met your mom. Mm-hmm. I met Tati's mom through Pastor C at the Moravian Church, and to this day I think about your mom as being like, you know, not all Christians are bad because there's Ann Wellman.
I love that.
You know?
I love that, yeah.
They can't all be bad because Ann Wellman's a Christian and she's lovely and wonderful and so accepting. And so Pastor C and Ann Wellman exist. Therefore, it is not totally black and white. There's gray.
True.
That, you know, there can be Christian faith and a lot of acceptance, love, going deep, validating the hurt. Yeah.
No, I love that. Especially that you put Pastor C and my mom on the same wavelength. It's like crazy to me because like, well, my mom is freaking phenomenal. I love you so much, Mom, if you're listening to this. But when I was growing up, I remember meeting Pastor C and I thought to myself, I want to be just like her. So in my head, like, she's like a superhero, you know, like she's Pastor C, you know. She's awesome. Like, I remember growing up, she had like her head shaved and tattoos, like,
yes, I like Pastor C.
Yes.
Pastor C, you would totally get down with Pastor C.
Seriously.
Pastor C doesn't sound like a mark. Good DJ, feeling the room, inviting everybody in. Everybody's like, I'm here. We're not leaving. We're good.
So like loving, giving, like just everything about her. I just remember just being like, wow, like what a person, you know? But I love that you put them, you know, one in the same because I've been raised by Ann Wellman. and she also has just been so loving, so accepting, so kind and gracious. And even when I came out, I was definitely really nervous about that. I definitely did not think for a second that my mom or dad would disown me. Or I feel very grateful because my family has always been very vocally accepting and affirming and LGBTQ. We've got a lot of gay friends. And but I just, you know, I knew that the main reason I was scared to come out to my family is I was scared that it would change things. And of course it did, but like in the best way, which at that time I didn't comprehend or realize that because I was thinking, oh, everything's going to be different. I don't want it to be different. And I've always had this struggle with change or like big changes. And so
that's your Enneagram one, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think so, honestly. And so as soon as I did come out, I just remember thinking, oh man, like things are gonna be so different. And they were in the best kind of way. You know, I'm just so grateful for my family and how accepting they have been and everything like that. Mm-hmm. What was your journey with like your family coming out to your...
Yeah. It, you know, so I came out in 96 in the Midwest, and I say it as a joke, but there's a little bit of pride. I'm like, I came out a good few months before Ellen DeGeneres came out and Melissa Etheridge. So it's like, you know, hey, wasn't a trend. Let me see. It turned into a good thing, but truthfully what happened was I felt pressure to be out because I had a girlfriend at the time. I was 15, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, hold my hand, yada, yada. And I'm like, okay. And then the bullying started. And then it went on for a few months and the teachers and principals started getting involved into the bullying aspect.
No.
Yes. I got jumped one time. I got like, you know, all this stuff. Oh. And the principal said, we know what this is about, don't we, Christy?
Oh.
And leaned against the table with their arms crossed. And I looked at her, I said, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I kept trying to get a class change. They kept the secretary kept going, you didn't make an appointment. I was like, yes, I did. I just talked to you yesterday. You said I could come in and do this. So I was getting bullied for 3 hours in this class.
Oh,
so it was a community effort.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a different time, but this is still happening in other cities and states.
Yep.
And so my high school told my parents that I was gay.
No.
Yeah. My mom was working for the elementary school at the time. She goes to work, sees on her mailbox a note that says, call the high school about your daughter.
Oh, geez.
And I walk in, and mind you, I left the house in like jeans and a t-shirt, and I walk in, and this was when, you know, goth was big, so me and my friend switched clothes, and I had a skinny puppy t-shirt on, a dog collar.
No!
I can totally see it.
Yes!
A crazy skirt, you know. And probably nylons on my arms, because that was a thing.
That was totally a thing.
Oh my god! And later, my mom goes, "You know, in retrospect, I was more upset that you changed your clothes, because Sarah's gonna lose that nice shirt that I got you." But I walked in, and my mom looked so defeated,
aww,
and just looked up and was, I could see she'd been crying, aww, and I was like, and the principal was in there, and he started grilling me about, well, what about this, what about that, and I was holding my ground, talking back. That was the thing. I stood up to it all,
yeah.
But at 15, you know, you think that you're 40. You think like, you know, yeah, I can do this, I got blah, blah, blah. It wasn't until probably 6 months later, I ended up, my mom and dad were very supportive. I called them the kitchen table conversations because they wanted to know about my experience, like what, have conversations. That, they didn't know like that, putting it all on me was not comfortable or appropriate really. I wish they would have sought out a therapist. Mm-hmm. To orchestrate how to make me feel comfortable, included, and you know. But the air was in the United States and so forth, and on TV and in the communities were, if you're gay, there's something wrong with you, you're a groomer, you're crazy, you gotta stay away from kids, you're going to hell. Like, I mean, amazingly nice things. I don't know how you get someone a card, you know, good luck in hell. Like,
yeah.
But, and not to say that was my parents' thing, but that's the energy that was all around. And I see the uptake again with the same old tropes coming back around against trans and drag queens and gay people now. But my parents had me, took me out of that school and were like, you're going to a different school, it'll be safer. And it wasn't probably till like 6 months later that I heard somebody on the bus when I was coming home from this new school call somebody else a fag. And I was so used to it being directed at me and getting threatened and everything. So I just tensed up and I realized they weren't talking to me. I got in my house, I went to my bedroom, laid on the floor, and cried for like 2 hours. And it was the first time I cried about it. You know?
Yeah.
And you carry that around.
Right.
And I want to believe that is not what Christians intend.
Right.
But that is what happens.
Definitely.
And, but long story short, with mom and dad, they became very big supporters. My mom, they both of them passed away a couple years ago, but she was 5 foot. And this was still in the late 90s, early 2000s. She saw a trans woman at a restaurant and was getting picked on. And she went over there and told off this guy and then told her, like, you're beautiful, don't let them get you down. And then my mom did, like, speaking tours, basically, at any schools or colleges that I went to and was on panels. And and they met my girlfriends, would come over for Christmas and all that stuff.
So sweet.
So it was... Not, you know, my mom later said, you know, I had gay friends, everything's fine, you know, but you get in your head these things that you hear over and over again. She's like, and I never really believed them. So, but when you came out, it was like a shock to me. Her best friend said to her, Karen goes, Debbie, really? You really? This is a shock to you? But my mom was like, you just kind of assume things that, you know, and when something or someone is different from you, it takes you by surprise. And luckily, bless my mom, she had enough awareness and insight to go in and go, wait a minute. This, and she reached out to Karen, mom, who, her son was gay, and got some advice from her. And she said what nailed it in that conversation was, she goes, Karen's mom said, Debbie, do you love your daughter? My mom said, yes. She said, did you love her yesterday? Yes. You love her today? Yes. Then what's the problem? And my mom put that, it just really put in perspective. You're my kid. Yeah. Nothing has changed. Yeah. You're a person. And I love you. And so this internalized police officer, bully, that we all have in different ways for different reasons. We have to be very aware when they come out because they're deceiving. We think, and it thinks, that it's protecting you. But keeping you away from reality, keeping you away from love, kindness, friendship, family, I don't think that's protection. I think that's misguided fear. Being curious about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story and for being so open and vulnerable. I mean, just that story about how your mom stood up for that transgender person is really awesome to hear. My mom feels like a hero in that sense to me. Even before I was even out, my mom was attending a women's conference or something like that. It was a Christian conference, or like group. And so she was meeting with them, I think it was only her second week there, or her first week there. It was very new. She didn't know really anybody there. It's like her first time. And, you know, the first person goes up on the stage or whatever and says, talks about, you know, all kinds of different religious things and then says, and pray the gay away.
Yeah, that was a thing.
And my mom was like stopped in her tracks and she like looked around and she realized everybody was just taking notes. Yeah, and like all the women, she said there were so many people there and that they're just all taking those notes, you know? And I was like, what? No, wait, like that's crazy. And, because she told me this story, I think maybe, I don't think she told it to me when it happened, but like a year later. But when she did that, or when she was there and experienced that, she realized that she needed to say something instead of just like pretend.
And that's why we love your mom.
Yes. So she came back the next week and she got up in front of her whole group and told them that something had really bothered her about that past week. And she told them about that when they were talking about, you know, praying the gay away, that everybody was, you know, taking notes. And she just said that she didn't, I don't know exactly how she went about it, but she pretty much just said that, like, she just didn't agree with that. And she was really sad to see that everybody was just, you know, writing it down and,
like, accepting.
Almost, like accepting it in.
Like robots.
You know, so your psyche or whatever. So, yeah, but I'm so proud of my mom for going back and standing her ground.
Right. And the little kernels help people go, wait, are the person that's being curious about that, or is like, I thought that was weird too. Okay. Yeah. Can help them.
And that thought, so what came up for me hearing that is, well, when I was a teenager, I was told by my pastors to pray away the depression.
That
if I was only a better Christian, if I went to more services,
it's your fault.
If I read my Bible more and prayed more, and if I was more pure, then I could pray away the depression.
No.
Yes. Ooh. So, dear listeners, you can't pray away the gay, and you can't pray away the depression. That's not a thing.
I was curious about, for you, like, your psyche of the cathartic, you know, mental health, creativity, you putting this into art, this experience, what was that like for you?
That's a good question. Honestly, I feel like it's been fun and a struggle. I think I really love art because I think we all, even though we're, you know, together and we're talking and communicate, nobody really knows what's going on inside your head and inside your brain. And nobody knows the life you live. Nobody's walked in your shoes before. So I feel like it's really cool because through art, you can express yourself and express your emotions, feelings, what you've been through. And I think it's just such a beautiful way to heal, you know, to heal as a person, heal your soul. I feel like it's so nice because sometimes you feel this like weight on your chest, you know, you might be carrying something, and that was something that I was carrying and I didn't realize I was carrying was when I got back to school and my teacher was like, all right, you know, you have the opportunity to pitch a film. I had this realization, okay, like maybe I could do something that's like a musical, or I could do something that's you know, a drama or like a horror, you know, and there's all these different things, and I really like space and science. And then I just had this kind of real realization, because my teacher said the stories that you should be telling are stories that only you know. And I thought, man, maybe I should actually talk about my personal experience of being gay and Christian. And that just opened up all the cans of worms, and it was intense. You know, it was definitely, it was quite the experience to open all that up and then display it to the world. You know, it felt like, let people into such a true part of who I am and the life that I've lived, you know. But it also has just been so healing because I feel like every time I talk about it, it's really hard. Really hard every time. But I think in the process of doing that, like, I can feel my heart start to heal. And church is still something that's painful to think about, to talk about, the experiences I've gone through. But I think at the end of the day, like, I feel kind of at peace with it, where, you know, if you talked to me maybe a year or two ago, I would definitely be on, like, the other end of that.
Do you think that you're going to make more films or TV shows, you know, more creative projects around being gay?
Yeah, definitely, which is funny. I got I'm on TikTok and somebody wrote in my comments and they're like, is being gay your personality? No. Like your personality or something? And I literally wrote them back, yep. Yeah. I mean, that's just who I am. And I think we need to normalize it. And especially through mm-hmm. film, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful because as I've grown up, I've only seen more and more representation, right. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think that's amazing, but I grew up watching the show Glee.
Yes!
And,
oh,
yes.
I so wanted to be on that.
Oh my god. I see it, you know? Yes.
Me and Satana.
So cute. I love that show, and I love, that was the first time I had ever seen two gay men kiss.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this? No way. And that was when I was, you know, going through my own, like, trying to figure out my sexuality and stuff. And I think it's really great to see diversity in those films and in movies, because I think, you know, whoever's on the other end, like, receiving end of that screen, they could be sitting there and, like, be going through something like that, like, either whether it's they're trying to discover, you know, their gender identity or their sexual orientation, but to just watch it mm-hmm. on a screen, it'll help you process it and also just normalize it, because I think it'll be good for straight people to see yeah. it too, you know?
It's funny, I was thinking about it, I get it if some people don't want to be responsible for, you know, not having an obligation to represent everybody, you know, because like that falls in kind of the line of, you know, it's just maybe not someone's interest or jam when they're making something,
yeah.
as opposed to it being, you know, an ism. But while you're saying that, I was like, oh my God, I never really thought about how does that feel for straight cis people when they're growing up and they see themselves reflected back all the time.
Yeah.
They must feel so excited and validated. I guess that's probably why a lot of, oh my God, I'm having a moment. You know, like kids like want to be the princess so bad, or they're yeah. like, I want to be Spider-Man so bad. I never wanted to be any of those things because I realized in this moment, it didn't fit fully. Mm-hmm. It's like, here's a shirt, but it's like, dude, I can't put that on. I like I want to, but it doesn't fit fully, so I can't fully get into it.
Yeah.
I did go, you know, balls to the wall, pretending I was Batman, making out with girls in the pool when I was 4. I remember that. And then also, God bless Cary Elwes and Princess Bride, because I totally wanted to be him, you know, and make out with the girl. I thought, oh, I'm just a tomboy, because that's what people told me.
Same.
Right?
Yeah.
And tomboys, or whatever that is, you know, does exist. You know, not everybody who has more of an internal feminine or masculine energy sense is therefore trans, non-binary, X, Y, and Z. But it is a spectrum. Therefore, everybody exists. So... Yeah, I can't imagine, like the excitement that I felt as, like, a teen discovering, like, movies where there was women kissing women, or it was alluded to.
Right.
That's a lot of what I had.
Yeah.
Or gay men. It wasn't until Bound was there a bisexual.
Oh, yeah.
But still very gendered.
Oh, yeah.
But I have no idea how many times I watched high art, of course, but I'm a cheerleader.
of course.
Yes. And what is it? Oh, my favorite. The True Adventures of, what is it? The Adventures of Two Girls in Love. The Absolutely True Adventures of Two Girls in Love, which has a very butch Lauren, is her first name, I think. The one that plays Tina on L Word. She's young and very butch and... that movie from the 90s. So watch that.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think it's so cool because, like, watching these people on the screen, I feel like you almost, you see yourself in them. And I think that's so beautiful. And ooh. I think I would love to make films, more films like that. And You know, right now, my heart really wants to turn my short film into something longer, whether that's a feature length or TV series. I'm still trying to figure out which direction I'm trying to take it.
It'd be a great TV series.
I was leaning towards TV, you know, but I think it's just one of those things that it'd be really helpful for people to be, especially like nowadays with all of our rights being just taken away,
right?
You know, and I mean, I remember
it's really petty. No, for you, nobody gets any soup. None of that. You get nothing. Like, what is that?
I know. And people who live in, you know, all across, even just the United States. As great as we have progressed, as much as we have, you know, with rights and stuff like that, it's really unfortunate because now I feel like, you know, I see on the news it's saying that like our rights are at like an all-time crisis, that, you know, we should know our rights and as LGBTQ people, because especially if we're going to different states and things like that.
Oh, yeah. That one's real.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Real creepy, weird one to experience. And I can say of being an elder, I shouldn't really go there right now because I'm going to be there one day. And then I'm going to be like, well, then what am I going to be? I'm going to be
You're the wise sage.
A wise, thank you. Okay, I'll stick with elder.
You can be an elder. You still got the wise sage.
I'll be a wizard or a warlock, something. Merlin, when I was Merlin. But we've seen this before. And I can say with when the bully knows that they're not winning, they get louder and they stomp and they have a tantrum. And what is different every time this comes about, because this, look up the Lavender Scare back in the 50s. Okay. You look at the trajectory, this has been like this. And we've gone the farthest the last few years. Yes.
Right.
And the difference is availability of visibility, because it exists out there. You can go pick up those movies that I mentioned, and you can go pick up Glee. You can find it on the internet. You can go to your library. Right. There's a reason why they want to remove words and visuals, because it scares people back into silence. But tough tits, too late.
Love it.
We exist. And so I appreciate very much, and it's very valuable, that you're expressing yourself. It's a win-win. It's cathartic. You're getting to share yourself, and then people get to pick that up and carry that ball further.
Totally. Yeah. And plus, I think, like you said, like there's people that live everywhere, and you know, if they're in Florida or Texas or wherever they are, they can, you know, watch something like that on YouTube or online, or find it, you know, there. And I think it's really nice that we have the internet in that sense, for people who are trying to discover who they are. And even if they don't know anyone around them who looks or feels the same way that they do, that they can find that out there if they look for it. And I think to put more content out there that is LGBTQ oriented, and then also just people who are really proud to be who they are, and just, you know, see that through a hero's journey, you know. I think that's beautiful, because I know anybody I've talked to who's LGBTQ, their journey wasn't easy. Like, it never is, you know. And it's because it hasn't been normalized. And I mean, I don't even know if it would ever be normalized, but I feel like that we, by having more conversations and by showing it more, that, you know, if you tell your straight friend, yeah, I'm gay, they can just be like, cool, that's great, all right, let's go grab lunch or whatever, you know. And
you know,
it's not such a thing.
It's like, no big deal. Do you want to go out with my friend, blah, blah, blah? No, I'm gay. Okay, cool. Well, you want to go get lunch?
Yeah.
Do you want to go over here? Oh, I'm vegetarian. Okay, we can go over there, right? Like, it's just conversation.
Yes.
You know? And it reminds me of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, you know. And it kind of encompasses all of what we talked about,
right? Yeah.
But while he tried to take all these things away, he went into their homes and stole their, what is it, their roast beast, all the things, the presents. And what did the Whos do? they all got together in Hahuhore. but that same kind of idea where, you know, and we see these parables and these stories in our media and art, and there's a reason. Because you can't make people disappear. You can't make you can make people literally, but you can't make who we are as species, individuals, so forth, just go away. It's not a t-shirt. We are not a t-shirt. And so remembering that if somebody does try to take something from you or not allow you to have the thing, link up with other people. Going on YouTube, going on TikTok, all those things. Hold on tight, because there's going to come a day where you're going to be able to get closer to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Ahuhore.
Well, Tati, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes,
it was
you.
So good to spend the morning with you, chit-chatting. Christian, any final thoughts?
No, I thought it out.
Tati, I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you for having me and for having these conversations.
And Tati, where can we find out more about you, about the film?
Yeah, honestly, the best place I'd say to check me out is Instagram. I try to keep all my updates on there. So you can find me at Tatiana_films. And I'm that across all the platforms, YouTube, TikTok, everything pretty much. So
awesome.
Yeah, feel free to keep up with me on there. And my film is linked in the bio, so you can go check it out.
Awesome.
Thanks. Awesome. Thank you. Thanks, Tati.
Thank you.
See y'all next week. Sure. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're